Switch to Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil. It's specially formulated to help fight engine breakdown in higher mileage cars. Max Life, because there's a lot of car left in your car.
Are you looking to buy a foreclosure?
Did you know the government has grant funds just for that?
Yep, 25 grand or more.
All this and more on Real Estate Radio, Sunday mornings at 9 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Make your reservation today at the Tavern Kitchen and Bar for a unique reinvention of exquisite comfort food. And don't forget to vote for Chef Justin Hafley as Best New Chef Midwest for Food & Wine Magazine. Look for the link at KTRS.com under Restaurant of the Week.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I ever have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Happy No Jacket Friday, everybody.
Yay. Yeah. I still have a jacket on, though.
That's because it's cold in the studio.
Yeah, you're outside. You never know in here.
You don't need one. This is one of those days in St. Louis where you wake up in the morning and it's a certain temperature, and by that afternoon, it's double that temperature.
Yeah.
You're scraping frost off your windshield in the morning.
Yeah, 36 degrees and frosty this morning.
Yeah.
It's going to be 72 before the time we finish up this afternoon.
And then what, the high in the upper 40s or low
40
50s?
Degrees on tomorrow. Sunday, tomorrow. And they say we may have a chance of some snow.
Oh, great.
Shut up. Let us enjoy today.
Come on.
For goodness sake. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Here on the Big 550 KTRS, I am Paul Harris. That's Dan Strauss. That's Eon the Peon. And we're happy to have you here. Mike Evans and Bill Clevelin and Joe Hipperson will be along later on. When Joe gets here, we're going to talk about this new Steve Carell, Jim Carrey, Steve Buscemi, Alan Arkin, James Gandolfini, Olivia Wilde movie. Can't forget Olivia Wilde.
Oh, no.
It's called The Incredible Wonderstone. I went to see it earlier this week, and I'm sure we'll both have some things to say about it. We'll see if I agree with Joe on this one when he gets here.
I can't wait to hear what you say about it.
About an hour from now, we'll get into that. Also, Knuckleheads in the News and the Harris Challenge all coming up today. This is going to be St. Patrick's weekend, and that means that if you're in the media, you are legally obligated to do stories about how the police will have more patrols out this weekend.
Oh, yes. Checkpoints.
Yeah.
Yeah. And more cars. Yeah.
Okay. There, we've done it.
Yeah, there you go.
put a check mark next to that on the big whiteboard there, Dan. We've covered our media obligation for today.
Got it.
I know Ian, in his alter ego life as a bartender, tomorrow is going to be...
big day tomorrow.
I was going to say the day from hell, but it's a
huge, I start at 1 in the afternoon tomorrow.
1 in the afternoon, and the bar closes at?
3 a.m. Yes. So,
that's 14,
long day.
You know, that's 14 hours of tips.
Yeah, that's right. That's right? One way to look at it.
Do they generally tip well on a day like St. Patrick's Day, or do people just get...
I think so, because those are the pros that come out on that kind of day.
No, it's really the amateurs who come out.
Well, it depends. It depends where you are.
The pros are the ones who are there Tuesday at 4 in the afternoon.
Yes, it depends where you are. I think if you're along...
Those are the people who are drinking professionally.
If you're along the parade route, I would guess in either... I know Cottleville has a big one. Dogtown has a big one.
Yeah.
Downtown has a big one. I think if you're along there somewhere... You're going to get a lot of amateurs, but the pros also come out on that day.
Oh, good.
Yes.
What makes somebody a pro?
Somebody that drinks regularly.
And tips.
Yes.
And tips.
And knows the business and knows how it works.
Is it true that the best tippers are other bar
employees?
Absolutely. When you go out, do you tip much more
heavily? Oh, absolutely. Everywhere I go. Yeah, at least 20%.
I do that. I used to work in restaurants a long, long time ago, but I still remember what it was like to for the waitress to wait tables and for the cook and everything else. So I'll tip a little extra.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I delivered pizzas, and that $1 tip, I brought you five pizzas, and you gave me a buck? Mm-hmm. Really? Ugh. Now, we never order five pizzas, but if we order one pizza or there's a Chinese place a couple of miles from us that delivers to us,
yeah,
you're going to get, you know, you're going to get more than 15 or 20%.
At least a gallon of gas.
At the very least, I tip 20%, and now I'm doing usually a pizza guy, $4 or $5 probably, anywhere along the waitress even at her, we bowl on Wednesdays, and she gets $1 every time she refills my big giant water, so I take care of everybody nicely.
Now, speaking of bartenders, I have a story here that I've actually been holding for a couple of weeks, as Ian knows, because we've gotten other things, we've had guests and gotten distracted by other topics. So let's do this right at the top of the show here.
All right.
This is a story from Shelby, Ohio. A woman named Twyla DeVito. That's a great name.
That is.
Twyla.
DeVito. How do you spell Twyla?
T-W-Y-L-A.
Oh.
Spell it like you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Twyla.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
DeVito. She was a bartender at an American Legion Hall there in Shelby, Ohio for almost a year. And a guy comes in and he's a regular bar guy there, and he's drinking, and he's had too much, and she says, you really shouldn't drive. Wants to keep him from driving drunk. Doesn't want him to hurt himself, doesn't want him to hurt anybody else, etc. Now, I don't know what the laws are when it comes to this. You can explain that to me if you know in just a second. Not that you would know what it is in Ohio, but, I mean, how it's applied here. But he leaves. She can't get him to give her the keys. You know, let me call you a cab. No, I'm going to drive myself home. I guess he was kind of getting a little belligerent at that point. I'm going to drive myself home. I don't need a lift from anybody. I don't need a cab. I don't need your help. So she called the cops. And the cops found him driving. I guess Shelby, Ohio can't be that big a town. They find him, and his blood alcohol level was more than twice the legal limit. And so he gets a ticket for DUI. And then 2 days later, she gets a call from the commander of that American Legion post. Hi, Twyla, you're fired. He said, you're bad for business. It's nothing personal. This is all business, but I'm going to have to fire you.
Wow.
He also told her that she didn't follow protocol. Twyla says, there is no protocol for this at the American Legion Hall. So here's the question I have for you as a bartender. Who's right here? I mean, this guy's a regular there, and I should also point out he's a board member of that American Legion post.
Oh, yeah.
So
well,
that's why. Now you got some politics thrown in
he
there.
He definitely have some other...
There's some protocol.
He had influence.
Some circumstances.
She called the cops on me, and I was just trying to drive home after having a couple of beers, and she called the cops on me. I want her ass in a sling. I mean,
I think that would be, at least in my case, I think that would be the very last circumstance to call the cops. If I went through everything else, because if we see somebody that has had too much to drink, mm-hmm. we take them, we say we can't serve you anymore.
Yep.
We take them either up to the front, and we have the people up front say we can get you a cab or whatever, and strongly suggest they don't drive. So I don't know. Normally, the bartender wouldn't, in my establishment, wouldn't be much past that, much past cutting them off and having them walk up, have somebody else escort them out mm-hmm. and say, we would suggest you get a cab home.
But I'm curious about this, and I'll open up the phone lines here, 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, and cell phone *KTRS. And I guess I should say, I don't drink. I used to when I was much younger, drank a lot, but haven't had a drink in almost 20 years. So I don't know what it's like now, but I'm curious. You take that person up to the, or you see that person walking up front, and you tell Jim, the guy at the door, hey,
right.
Jim, this guy's had too much, you know.
And we have off-duty police that work security, too, there. So
okay.
we would hand them over to them and say, you guys
can they legally prevent that person from getting in their car?
You know what? I don't know what the law is there. I don't know. I don't know.
Because I would think if you're an off-duty cop, you've got an even more of an obligation to do something.
I mean, I would think they would step in and say, but I don't know. I don't know if you're allowed to take somebody's keys away and say, you can't go.
I wonder if you're a cop, off duty or on duty for that matter, and you know that this person had too much to drink, the bartender's told you, yeah, hey, we cut him off. We think he's too drunk to even have another beer. And then you walk out to the parking lot with the guy. As soon as he gets in the car and turns the car on, DUI!
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Not D. I guess that would be O.
Yes.
You're operating the car
right.
under an influence.
So I don't think it would be very smart because, these guys are pretty
The guy from the Ohio Department of Public Safety says there is no law there that requires a bartender to report a drunk driver. But, of course, we encourage people to do that, and they support what this woman, Twyla, did. Twyla says she doesn't regret calling the cops. She said, if he had gotten in a wreck, that would have been on me because I was on my shift. I was in a lose-lose situation. I chose, I'm going to possibly save a life here. And it is a lose-lose situation because, again, he's a board member.
Right.
But even if he isn't.
And she had to, she had to have known that.
Yeah. Particularly if he's around
there
all the
time. That's why I guess she couldn't necessarily go to somebody else there. I mean, there had to be somebody working management or something there to say, hey, I don't think this guy should drive home.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that restricted her from doing that because she knew he was a board member and she didn't want to overstep. She probably knew she wasn't going to get any help anyway.
Well, you see, I would think in that situation, you're better off going to your boss and doing that. That way, you've got that kind of buffer layer
right.
between you and the guy.
Say, I told him, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I said this guy really shouldn't drive. I told him not to drive. Maybe you should talk to him. After all, you're more.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, that's what I would like to have known if she tried those avenues.
But it's entirely possible that you know, in an American Legion Hall, she could have been in there by herself. You know, I mean,
that is true.
I don't know how busy it was that night or whatever. Pam, you're on the Big 550 KTRS. Hello.
Paul, the same exact thing happened to my daughter who had been a bartender at the Moose Lodge for 11 years. A board member came in there, got in an altercation with another customer. My daughter was the only staff around, broke up the fight, sent them both home, and 2 days later, the president of the Moose Lodge called her on the phone and fired her over the phone after 11 years of bartending.
And what did he say the reason was for firing her?
Because she made a member leave the premises after they had too much to drink.
And fighting.
Yes.
Well, I think it sounds like the police need to step in here and let these clubs know that
if they're going to fire employees these clubs are allowed to make their own rules, pretty much. And so
but once they leave the club
that are
and start driving
until 3 or 2 in the morning, there's nobody with them. And she made the appropriate calls and did everything according to the protocol and still was fired over the phone after 11 years.
So what they told your daughter, like this woman Twyla, that essentially was, you have no authority here. Just serve the drinks.
That's right.
Then she probably should have just called the cops. If they were fighting and they were drunk, just call the cops and have the cops haul them.
But they might have fired her for that.
She would have got fired for that.
Yeah, they fired this woman in Ohio for calling the cops. They probably would have done the same to your daughter, Pam.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame.
I hope she got a new job right after that.
Well, not bartending anymore. I think she's pretty much over that.
Yeah, that would sour your taste a little bit.
I can understand why. Thanks for calling. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phone star KTRS. Hi, Bill. How are you today?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you folks today?
We're all good.
Good, Bill.
Definitely AM and the PM.
Hallelujah. I appreciate it.
I can only speak from, I work in Illinois and work for a company that has 5 nightclubs in the Metro East area. And all of our employees within the company go through TIPS training, and that's a certification that is training in, the proper service of alcohol and telling tells and signs when people have too much to drink.
Yeah.
And basically our company policy is in regards to Illinois law and in looking at dram shop protection is that the bartender or server or whomever it is has the right of refusal to stop serving a guest if they feel that they are exhibiting behavior or signs of intoxication.
Okay, so let's say that they cut them off because they think they've had too much, and then that person then goes to leave, and you know that they're probably too drunk to drive. What do you do? What do you tell your employees?
Within our, again, not knowing the situation, whether there was another manager there, certainly, ultimately, it is the bartender's responsibility if she was the only one there. She is liable for that guest if they get out on the road within Illinois law, that if they go out and kill themselves or someone, that the lawsuit that could come down will hold her financially responsible for, you know, they could garnish her wages for the rest of her life in a lawsuit if she were found guilty of letting this person leave.
Yeah.
Well, how do you strong-arm somebody's keys out of their hands, though, yeah, or their pocket if they won't give them up?
So let's say this woman was one of your employees in Illinois in one of your clubs, and she had this exact situation with somebody who she thought or knew was too drunk to drive. What is she supposed to do?
The procedures that we have is she goes and explains that to the manager of the club, who in turn will do basically what she did, is speak to the guest. Ultimately, we and the manager has the capability to, one, pay for a cab home, depending upon what the expense would be. You know.
Okay, all right, let's just play this out as a situation here. All right, we're going to pay for your cab home. I don't want a cab home. I'm going to drive. I'm fine. All right, what's step two?
Step two is ultimately, if all else fails, is we contact the local authority.
Yeah.
So you...
So that's
what this woman did.
That's exactly what she did, and she ended up getting fired because it's a board member of that American Legion Hall.
Hey, Bill, this is all in Illinois, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, because Missouri doesn't have those laws.
No, apparently. Missouri doesn't have dram shop laws.
Yeah.
Right. Now, again, even though there's no dram shop laws in Missouri, if somebody is at your establishment, does get intoxicated, you can still be sued if they cause harm or injury or property damage while at your establishment, and it's proven that that you were a contributing factor in that.
Yeah, particularly if you over-served them, but that's a whole other question. All right, I'm glad you called, Bill. Thanks very much. The thing about those dram shop laws that gets me is you bring somebody in, somebody could have three glasses of wine, three beers. It's not like somebody came in there and it was like, yeah, let's do some shots. And for an hour and a half, they were doing Jaeger bombs and going crazy and just consuming a huge amount of alcohol. There are people who are drunk after three beers.
Right. Yep.
Or
they come in already prior and had a bunch and just come in for two drinks.
So to hold you responsible for serving them, particularly on a busy night, can you tell the state of every single person who's ordering?
No, it's
at the
very
bar?
Tough when it's busy. It's hard to keep track of
everything. Especially on a day like St. Patrick's Day, because
no
they're going to be bar hopping all over the place.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. 314-969-KTRS, toll-free 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phones *KTRS.
Warm weather has brought out the drivers. Got lots of traffic out there driving in today. Tim Weiland's here to fill us in. Tim?
Probably going to see everybody heading to the lake, don't you think?
Yeah.
And then they get there and they go, it's 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah, what happened?
Exactly.
You better get to the lake in the next 15 minutes.
It was 70 yesterday.
If you want to enjoy the lake, you have 14 minutes and 25 seconds left to get there.
And that's what's going to happen, though. All right, we do have an incident. It's on northbound 170 near Frost. Looks like a minor accident. People are slowing down from about Scudder. It is off on the right shoulder. On westbound 70, you are slow now, approaching the Earth City Expressway to the Blanchette Bridge. Westbound 40, just getting started. Little heavy between Hampton and McCausland, 270 and Mason, but still looks pretty good to the Boone Bridge. This traffic report brought to you by Sonic. Spicy and sweet team up to tackle your hunger. Grab an order of the new spicy jumbo popcorn chicken and sweet potato tots at Sonic today. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Traffic.
Let me just give you an update on Manchester where that water main break is. Now they've only have a right lane.
It's out there all day long. And while other stations may ignore it in the middle of the day, we give you the traffic updates you need. The Big 550 KTRS. Depend on it.
It's no secret that creatine works to help men get bigger and stronger faster. And right now, you can qualify to receive a bottle of an amazing breakthrough called Pure Creatine if you can answer yes to one of the following three questions. Are you looking for a proven way to power up your body? Would you like to build more speed, endurance, and strength? How about lifting more weight and doing more reps? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you qualify for a full bottle of Pure Creatine for just $9.95. Call now, 1-800-ATHLETE. Hundreds of studies and millions of athletes have proven that creatine works to make you bigger and stronger faster. But why pay $40 when you can get a full bottle of Pure Creatine for less than $10? This offer won't last, so you must call now. Put the explosive power of creatine to work for you. To receive your full bottle of Pure Creatine, call now. 1-800-ATHLETE. That's 1-800-A-T-H-L-E-T-E. 1-800-A-T-H-L-E-T-E. L-E-T-E.
Want to look years younger, even when you're completely naked from the neck up? As in, not wearing makeup, no mascara, no lipstick. We're now letting women try a BB cream breakthrough that doesn't only give you a flawlessly gorgeous complexion, it actually fights your wrinkles long term, so you look years younger even when you're completely naked from the neck up. And during our Neck Up Naked event, we're letting as many women as possible try it. To be one of them, call 1-800-700-3252. Immediately, while supplies last.
He said, see, you're beautiful without any makeup on. And I was just kind of, okay, you know, like, I'm not going to say anything because he's telling me that I'm beautiful with no makeup. But it was like my little secret.
We're letting as many women as possible try Hydroxytone Anti-Aging BB Cream while supplies last. So you can look years younger even when you're neck up naked. If you're one of the first callers right now, call immediately. 1-800-700-3252. 1-800-700-3252. 1-800-700-3252.
The fastest selling cane on national television is the cane that stands alone, the Hurricane.
I love it. When I go shopping, I can let it balance while I get stuff off the shelf. When I reach down, my cane is right there where I left it.
The Hurricane is the all-terrain cane. Sand, gravel, snow, the Hurricane keeps you on the go.
It gives me more stability.
The Hurricane goes everywhere you go. And when you need it, it's out in seconds. And the proprietary pivot head gives you more stability at any angle.
A lot of people stop and ask, oh my gosh, where do you get a cane like that?
Right now on this station, we're offering our best deal ever. Get the Hurricane for an historic price, now with free shipping. To unlock our best value, just call 1-800-300-6286. That's 1-800-300-6286. 1-800-300-6286.
Stan Musial. His brilliance could come in blinding bursts, hitting 5 home runs in a single day's doubleheader. First ballot Hall of Famer, worthy of one of the greatest nicknames in sports, Stan the Man, a gentleman you'd want your kids to emulate.
Stan Musial Harmonica Night, Friday, April 12th. All fans 16 and over will receive a real harmonica. Visit Cardinals.com for more information.
Hey!
Single game tickets for the 2013 season are on sale now. This year's schedule features lots of great promotional giveaway items. As a matter of fact, the month of April is loaded up. There's the Stan Musial harmonica, the adult replica alternate jersey, the 2006 replica World Series ring, the Carlos Beltran bobblehead. Single game tickets for the upcoming season are on sale now.
Hi fans, it's Bill DeWitt. I want to thank you for your tremendous continued support. And don't forget to get your tickets at Cardinals.com.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't just sell parts. Oh, no. We get you the part you need. Lickety-split. Our knowledgeable team members will do the legwork, arm work, or torso work, whatever it takes, to make sure you don't just get a part, you get the right part. Fast. Plus, now, get up to $30 back by mail when you buy Wagner Thermo Quiet Brake Pads. Service is our best part at Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details. Mail-in rebate. Void where prohibited.
Target Talk St. Louis every Sunday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. is presented by Metro Shooting Supplies in Belleville and Bridgeton. Join host Stephen King as he discusses the world of firearms from competitions to firearm safety.
Mizzou basketball on KTRS is brought to you in part by PM Barbecue. Keep it on KTRS for every game with the Missouri Tigers. PM Barbecue is your official Mizzou tailgate barbecue on the Big 550 KTRS.
Woo! Never seen a half of those days.
Tell you what, Jimmy Brownsville Station, the guy who originally did this song, is turning over in his grave right now. Brownsville was his middle name. Most people don't know that. He was the son of Phil and Frieda Station.
Wow.
And they named him Jimmy Brownsville Station.
That's the original version of this.
Yeah. Well, something I learned from an FM rock and roll DJ years ago. It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris here every Friday from 3 until 6. Ian and Dan are here with me, and of course, you're welcome to be a part of the show too. 314-969-KTRS, toll free 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phone star KTRS. So before the break, we were talking about this story from Shelby, Ohio, of a woman who was a bartender in an American Legion Hall who got fired because she called the cops on a guy who was there who'd had too much to drink, and she didn't want him to drink and drive, and he wouldn't give her the keys and let somebody else drive him home, wouldn't accept the offer of, you know, let me get you a cab. I'll get you a cab. Let him take you home. No, I can do it myself. I can drive myself home. It's my generic drunk guy voice.
That's good. That's pretty good.
I don't do impressions.
I've never heard some, and that's pretty good.
Yeah, as a bartender, you have experience hearing guys
ones,
like
yes.
that? So it turns out the guy's a member of the board of that American Legion post, and apparently once the cops pulled this guy over, they did find him. They pulled him over, busted him for DUI, and he got her fired. Which seems like you're sending the wrong message to her and to everybody else. I would think as a member of the board of that American Legion Hall, particularly somebody who could perhaps be held legally responsible in some states, because you're one of the people who runs that post, which includes that bar. I would think you would want a responsible person behind the bar handling it like that. Christopher, you're on the Big 550 KTRS. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Harris. How are you?
Good. Please call me Paul.
Okay, sure. I just think it's naive for anybody to believe, take for instance Soulard, the city might say to you guys, hey, just announce that we're going to have extra police and patrols, but let me ask you honestly, when did you ever see checkpoints right down by Soulard at the end of the day? I mean, on the news they talk about all these underage kids, say, arrested or a couple of people peeing, but how many drunk drivers? I mean, do you really think that if you had checkpoints right down by Soulard, and you know everybody's drinking down there all day, I mean, it's a total irresponsibility that they don't do something like that.
Well, I think the fact of the matter is that more people are drunk driving, particularly on days like St. Patrick's Day or Cinco de Mayo, you know, the essentially made-up drinking holidays. But, you know, not just New Year's Eve. Even Halloween is now a drinking holiday. 4th of July, Valentine's Day, not so much. But those other made-up drinking holidays, there's a huge number of people who go out and party, and whether they think they're drunk or not, they're getting behind the wheel, and they're still driving, and there's really not going to be any way to stop all of them.
I used to take my kids down to Soulard to see the parades. They enjoyed the floats and everything, but now my kids are grown up, but I wouldn't even take my grandkids down there because I'm just afraid of all the stuff going on down there.
Yeah. All right, Christopher, thanks for calling.
But that's
thanks.
A good point.
Have a good weekend.
I mean, you would think during Mardi Gras, the police know the amount of people down there drinking. Why don't they set up checkpoints right outside of there must be a reason why they don't.
I will tell you exactly why, because the business owners down there do not want that to happen. That would
that
hurt.
Would curb yes. a lot of the money.
That would curb a lot
there.
Of enthusiasm.
Yes.
314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phone star KTRS. I'm not saying that the checkpoints are completely a security facade like the TSA at the airport, but they're close. Rich, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hello. AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Just my humble opinion, which probably doesn't account for a whole lot, but I'm thinking that American Legion Hall looked at this entirely from the wrong direction. They should have gave her a big pat on the back and then come down on this board member, because he's a board member representing that Legion Hall.
Yep.
Don't you think he should have been held to a slightly higher standard than the average customer that walked in there? And when he got out of line, instead of firing the bartender for doing what she did, they should have reprimanded him.
Well, I think somebody certainly should have taken him aside and had a discussion with him, but...
Like the caller earlier said, those clubs are like a good old boys club where they don't like to turn on their own.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, right. Yeah, and particularly the smaller the town, the smaller the clique of people who are running any kind of organization, you step on the wrong toes in that room, they're never going to take your side. They're always going to put their arms around each other and take their side.
If my girlfriend was a bartender at a VFW hall in a small town of less than 3,000 people, and she had almost the same, a similar circumstance where somebody on the board had a little bit too much to drink and was getting out of line, kind of figuring, well, I'm on the board, I can do whatever I want, going behind the bar and doing all kind of other stuff.
Yep.
She put the man in his place. He didn't particularly care for it. He brought it up. He brought it up at the next board meeting, and they just flat out told him, "You don't belong behind that bar. Behind that bar, you might be a board member at this hall, but the bar rules are this. And if you get out of line, and we don't care who it is, if it's you or just somebody off the street, she has every right to ask to stop serving you and to ask you to leave."
Well, you see, the important rule there is, the important thing that you just mentioned there was rules, bar rules. That needs to be established right up front. And if I were a bartender in a small club like that, and I heard this story out of Shelby, Ohio, next time I went into work, I'm going to take my boss aside and say, all right, let's talk about this, because I heard this story, and I just want to know, what would you expect me to do in that situation? Let's say that Tony, who's one of the most powerful board members here, he comes in, and he's had too much to drink. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to let him go out and drive drunk? I think you got to ask that question.
Right, and maybe this particular hall, it looks at it slightly different than a lot of the other ones do, that, you know, a board member is omnipotent, is all powerful and can do whatever they want. But where my girlfriend worked at the time, they didn't take that attitude. They took the attitude of, if you're on the board at this hall, you're representing this hall, and we expect you to conduct yourself in such a manner, not only in this hall, but in public.
Yeah.
Because it's such a small town that everybody knows.
Right. Okay, Rich, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. By the way, in my little scenario where you go and you ask the rule, you know, let's say Tony gets too drunk, and what am I supposed to do? And they say, oh, you absolutely should try to take his keys away or put him in a cab, and if not, it's okay with us if you call the police. Then, 2 months later, Tony gets too drunk, he can't get his keys, he won't get in a cab, you call the police, Tony puts his foot down, you're getting your ass out
right,
anyway.
Yes, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what the rule was. Wow, it is a lose-lose situation. Chris, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
We're fine, thanks.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to put a little personal perspective on the story that you're talking about. I had a nephew that 3 years ago was killed by a drunk driver, and I commend this bartender no matter what. I mean, even if she lost her job, she may have saved lives.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing. All the political and business ramifications aside, she did the right thing, and I hope everybody does the same thing.
All right, thanks for calling, Chris. I appreciate that. Sorry about your loss, but thanks for the call. Here's Tom on the Big 550. Hello. Tom, are you there? No, Tom? Okay, I know we got a break. Let me just mention one thing. Tomorrow, in addition to all of the St. Patrick's partying that'll be going on the day before, on St. Patrick's Eve, I guess that's what tomorrow is.
Right.
If you're looking for something to do that's a little bit more family-oriented, my friend Terry Richardson, who is a pretty damn good magician, illusionist, does great close-up magic too, but does good stage shows. He and a bunch of other members of the International Brotherhood of Magicians. Terry is the president of the local group here.
IBM?
IBM.
Is that what they call themselves?
That's exactly what they call themselves.
You can't own the rights to an acronym, right?
I can't remember who it was. Some comedian used to do a joke about how he was at a convention somewhere, and a guy came up to him and said, "Mike Smith, IBM." he said something like, "Paul Harris, so do I." Yeah. I'm guessing if you work for that organization, you have no sense of humor about that. Only because you've heard every one of those jokes. There's no computer at IBM that can calculate the number of times IBM employees have heard those jokes. So the International Brotherhood of Magicians is having a show tomorrow at the Kirkwood Community Theater at 2 o'clock, and another one at 7 o'clock. and it's pretty cheap. $10 for adults, $5 for your kids. If you're looking for something, Terry puts on a great show. So do the other magicians who will be working with him. Kirkwood Community Theater, that's on South Guyer, 2 and 7 tomorrow.
That's a neat theater, too.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it is.
Nice little community center.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Big 550 KTRS.
And we're going to see how traffic looks right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Things getting pretty heavy now on westbound 64 between a little west of the Science Center through McCausland, 270 through Mason, then from Timberlake Manor down through Boone's Crossing. It's running slow there. Once you get past Boone's Crossing, it opens up to the Boone Bridge. On westbound 70 now, you're slow a little west of 270 to the Blanchette Bridge. And then we've got a stalled vehicle on eastbound 70 just after Highway 70. And look for slow traffic now on southbound 270 starting at about Manchester through Doherty Ferry. And this traffic report brought to you by Allstate. You can't prevent the unexpected, but you can prepare for it with an Allstate agent. They'll help make sure you have the right protection that you need at a price that you can afford. Find an agent near you at allstate.com. Are you in good hands? From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Now, every game really matters.
Nemchek on the right side, comes middle of the floor, knocked away by Bell, taken by Bell. Into the front court to the rim, lays it up and in.
After a hard-fought season, Coach Frank Haith and the Missouri Tigers made it to the SEC Tournament in Nashville. And tonight, they'll take on their next opponent, Ole Miss. Coverage begins at 8:30, and the tip-off is at 9 p.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
Bang!
We are our Mizzou.
Kids, you gotta love them. They represent our hopes and dreams for the future. But lurking in the shadows on the road to adulthood is the temptation to get into alcohol and drugs. Not good.
The concerned and professional staff with SFW Partners LLC would like to remind all parents and grandparents to talk with your children. Help them feel good about who they are.
The more secure and loved the kids are, the less likely they'll feel alienated, marginalized, or influenced by peer pressure to start experimenting with alcohol or drugs. Give kids a better chance to withstand the temptations lurking along the road to adulthood by interacting with them and educating them about the dangers they face. But it all starts at home, with the parents and the extended family.
This message is sponsored by the concerned and professional staff with SFW Partners LLC, who know our children are the future, and that's a future well worth protecting.
Officer McNabb here to say, if you're seeing leprechauns this weekend, could be you've had a few too many green beers. Which is fine with me, Officer McNabb. But get behind a wheel in that condition, and Officer McNabb will be forced to haul you off in the paddy wagon. And you'll need a pot of gold to cover fines, court costs, and legal fees. Think I won't catch you? With a name like McNabb, the luck of the Irish is on my side.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Arrive alive. Brought to you by the Missouri Coalition for Roadway Safety.
At Advanced Auto Parts, we don't just sell parts. Oh, no. We get you the part you need. Lickety-split. Our knowledgeable team members will do the legwork, arm work, or torso work, whatever it takes, to make sure you don't just get a part, you get the right part. Fast. Plus, now, get up to $30 back by mail when you buy Wagner Thermo Quiet Brake Pads. Service is our best part at Advanced Auto Parts. See store for details, mail-in rebate. Void where prohibited.
I don't think anyone heard that.
No. And I don't think it's going to work the second
time. What happened there?
Is that the hesitation version?
No, this is the gimme one step version.
Oh.
Thank you.
One step.
Oh, the kids, you know what? The kids love the Leonard Skinner jokes, don't they?
Yes, they do.
That was our 40th anniversary celebration of Leonard Skinner here on KC. Hope you enjoyed that. That's the version where we only play the live members.
Yeah.
I'm done.
You're on fire today.
That's all I got. I'm sorry. Can we talk about the TV show Survivor for just a couple of minutes? Do you watch it, Dan?
I do not, no.
Ian, you watch?
Yes.
I watched the first year, Richard Hatch. That's all I remember.
I have watched every episode of every season of Survivor, which is 25, 26 seasons now.
Holy moly.
Two a year. Yeah, so it's not 26 years.
Oh.
This is by far the worst season of Survivor
ever. Yes, I agree.
They're doing it as fans versus favorites again, which means that their casting department can't find enough new people to get on there, and they keep bringing people back, which sometimes works. Like in the fall, they had some good people on there, like that Jonathan Penner, very entertaining.
Right.
I don't remember who else was on there. But this season, the people they brought back as the favorites, I don't know whose favorites they are. They are the biggest bunch of loser previous candidates, who none of whom won, and it's sad. But even with that said, the episode that aired this week, I think, was a low point in Survivor history. It aired Wednesday night. I didn't watch it until last night on my DVR, so this is the first chance I had to talk about it. Have you seen it?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Spoiler alert for anybody who has it on their DVR. We're going to tell you some stuff that happened here. Well, the one big thing was that Brandon Hance, who is this over-tattooed, under-educated moron, who's only on the show because his uncle is Russell Hance, who was a game-changing player of a few seasons back, he went ballistic. I think I could say he went nuts. Because
yes,
it's obvious to me that he has some mental health issues.
Yes.
Serious mental health issues. I don't know if he's bipolar or... It's not just that he's stupid. That's one element of his personality. But there's also this brewing insanity.
He'll snap and then he'll come back to the same... I'm really I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah. So, yeah, bipolar, I would definitely describe it as.
And to me, what we're saying here is essentially that Jeff Probst and the other producers of Survivor and the CBS television network exploited a mentally ill guy for our entertainment, which is ridiculous, particularly because it wasn't even entertaining.
Right. You could see some of the other people were scared.
Yes, he was physically threatening other people on there. At one point, he went just crazy and spilled out his tribe's entire basket of rice and beans, which is all they have to eat. You know, they're out there for day after day after day after day. It's not like they're getting steak dinners unless they win things. And I mean, just horrible. I could never make it on Survivor on the food that they have. But when he spills all the food out, you know, the entire tribe is like, we're forfeiting the next challenge just so we can get this guy out of here, which only sends him over the edge further. Well, the day after he was kicked off, they do these exit interviews that go up on the Survivor website. And I want to see, what is this guy, has this guy got any remorse at all for what he did? Listen to this guy in action.
My motivation for pulling out the beans and the rice, 90% pissed off, 10%, hey, if I'm getting voted off this island, I'm going to make it hell for you. You think I'm just going to let you vote me off or throw a challenge to get me off of this island and let it go by? Hell no. By damn, that will not happen. I'm going to go out this sucker in a blazing ball of fire. You will remember the day I got voted out. The crappy part about my last season was I went out with my head down like that. This time, I went out with my chest bowed out, my head up, my shoulders all poked up. I came out of this like a man, not like a little boy. I'm a man. I went from being a boy to a man in two seasons. Ain't nobody gonna stomp and walk all over me no more. And I made that clear. You're not voting me out and letting me go through the game and letting me, my exit be sad. My exit was nice. It was glorious. I had a good time. I showed them that, hey, this guy's not going to just kill over and die.
All right, he keeps talking like that, and then starts giving war analogies. It's a game. It's a televised game that this guy was taking way too seriously, because I think that that's actually how he thinks inside of his head.
Right. He's living real life through this game. His real life, he's living through this game.
But can you imagine what he must be like in real life? Forget about any sportsmanship.
It's the same thing. No, it's the same thing. He feels disrespected by people talking to him a certain way. I'm sure he walks around day to day the same way.
I mean, if he were on a football team that lost, he'd run across the field and pee in the other team's Gatorade. That's the kind of mentality that we're dealing with here. And these people at Survivor, they supposedly do psychological testing on everybody. They must have looked the other way on this, right?
Right. No, I agree.
You know who I feel sorry for? He has three kids now.
Yeah.
Three little kids. And he kept talking about that on the show. I keep thinking about my family. And
how my kids
wow,
are going to see me
wife
and everything.
And got a wife and three kids.
That poor woman.
The first time he was on, a couple of seasons ago, he was conflicted because there were young, attractive women there on the beach. And, you know, they basically end up wearing bikinis most of the time because it's a sunny beach scenario. And he was way too tempted by them. So he wanted them voted off because the demons inside him were driving him crazy. Oh, You know, I'm sure that Jeff Probst thinks this is great TV. Did you see the way Probst was acting when they got to the point where being thrown
Absolutely.
Off the show?
They changed the whole format of the show just to let him
rant
for 5 minutes.
And then in this interview, I didn't play you this part of it. You know what he wants to do? He actually wants to go back on Survivor. You know who he wants to go back on with?
Russell.
His Uncle Russell.
Yeah, sure.
Because I know I could take him. By the way, Russell, who's already been on the show twice and didn't win either time, got to the final three once, but he's never won, so the fact that you can take him isn't really that big an accomplishment compared to the other people who already took him.
How do they get on, like, two and three times?
Because he's a, quote, favorite, unquote.
Okay.
If you're the bad boy on that show, or the nerdy kid on the show, like this Cochran, is that
right,
his name?
Yes.
Or you have some outsized personality, you're going to be invited back because they think you make good TV.
Mm.
It's not good TV. It's pure exploitation of a guy with mental illness who really, really needs some serious, serious care. And also, by the way, should be kept away from everybody. If they ever bring him back and I was another contestant on the show and I we're on the beach on day one and Brandon Hance gets off the helicopter, Jeff, I'm quitting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play the game with this guy here, which is essentially what everybody else in his tribe said Wednesday night. Just horrible. All right, it's 4 o'clock. This is the Big 550, KTRS St. Louis.